Good morning, everyone. Welcome to the Divine Service here at Zion Lutheran Church this morning. It's good to see so many of us here gathered together to hear God's Word and to receive His forgiveness this morning. We'll open our service this morning with the singing of our opening hymn, Come Thou Font of Every Blessing.
Greetings in our risen Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. We welcome you to the Sunday, March 26th, 2023 worship service at Zion Lutheran Church in Lincoln, Illinois. Participating in production of this broadcast are Bill and Diane Breen and Robert Clem. Our organist is Dora Thompson. The opening hymn is number 686, Come Thou Fount of Every Blessing, hymn number 686 found in the Lutheran service book. Tom and Chris Lockenauer and family are sponsoring the flowers on the altar and the radio broadcast to the glory of God in remembrance of Nora Mae Lockenauer's 90th birthday on March 22nd.
Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit.
Amen.
Beloved in the Lord, let us draw near with a true heart and confess our sins unto God our Father, beseeching Him in the name of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ to grant us forgiveness. Our help is in the name of the Lord,
who made heaven and earth.
I said, I will confess my transgressions unto the Lord.
You forgave the iniquity of my sin.
O Almighty God, merciful Father,
I, a poor, miserable sinner, confess unto you all my sins and iniquities, with which I have ever offended you, and justly deserved your temporal and eternal punishment. But I am heartily sorry for them, and sincerely repent of them. And I pray you of your boundless mercy, and for the sake of the holy, innocent, bitter sufferings and death of your beloved Son, Jesus Christ, to be gracious and merciful to me, a poor, sinful being.
upon this, your confession, I, by virtue of my office as a called and ordained servant of the Word, announce the grace of God unto all of you. And in his stead and by the command of my Lord Jesus Christ, I forgive you all your sins in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit.
Amen.
We continue now with our responsive psalm. Out of the depths I cry to you, O Lord.
O Lord, hear my voice. Let your ears be attentive to the voice of my pleas for mercy.
If you, O Lord, should mark iniquities, O Lord, who could stand?
But with you there is forgiveness, that you may be feared.
I wait for the Lord. My soul waits, and in his word I hope.
My soul waits for the Lord, more than watchmen for the morning, more than watchmen for the morning.
O Israel, hope in the Lord, for with the Lord there is steadfast love, and with him is plentiful redemption.
And he will redeem Israel from all his iniquities.
Almighty God, by your great goodness, mercifully look upon your people, that we may be governed and preserved evermore in body and soul. Through Jesus Christ, your Son, our Lord, who lives and reigns with you in the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever. Please be seated. The Old Testament reading from the book of the prophet Ezekiel, the 37th chapter, beginning at the first verse. The hand of the Lord was on me, and he brought me out in the spirit of the Lord and set me down in the middle of a valley. It was full of bones. And he led me around among them, and behold, there were very many on the surface of the valley, and behold, they were dry. And he said to me, Son of man, can these bones live? And I answered, O Lord God, you know. And then he said to me, prophesy over these bones and say to them, O dry bones, hear the word of the Lord. Thus says the Lord God to the bones, behold, I will cause breath to enter you, and you shall live, and I will lay sinews upon you, and will cause flesh to come upon you, and cover you with skin, and put breath in you, and you shall live, and you shall know that I am the Lord. So I prophesied as I was commanded. And as I prophesied, there was the sound, and behold, a rattling. And the bones came together, bone to bone. And I looked, and behold, there were sinews on them, and flesh had come upon them, and skin had covered them. But there was no breath in them. And then he said to me, prophesy to the breath. Prophesy, son of man, and say to the breath, thus says the Lord God, come from the four winds, O breath, and breathe on these slain that they may live. So I prophesied as he had commanded me, and the breath came into them, and they lived, and they stood on their feet, an exceedingly great army. Then he said to me, Son of man, these bones are the whole house of Israel. Behold, they say, our bones are dried up, and our hope is lost. We are clean cut off. Therefore prophesy and say to them, thus says the Lord God, behold, I will open your graves and raise you from your graves, O my people, and I will bring you into the land of Israel. And you shall know that I am the Lord when I open your graves and raise you from your graves, O my people. And I will put my spirit within you, and you shall live, and I will place you in your own land. Then you shall know that I am the Lord. I have spoken, and I will do it, declares the Lord. This is the word of the Lord.
Thanks be to God.
The catechetical review. In regards to Christian questions and their answers, what should you do if you are not aware of this need and have no hunger and thirst for the sacrament?
To such, a person, no better advice can be given than this. First, he should touch his body to see if he still has flesh and blood. Then he should believe what the scriptures say of it in Galatians 5 and Romans 7. Second, he should look around to see whether he is still in the world and remember that there will be no lack of sin and trouble, as the scriptures say in John 15 and 16 and in 1 John 2 and 5. Third, he will certainly have the devil also around him, who with his lying and murdering day and night will let him have no peace within or without, as the scriptures picture him in John 8 and 16, 1 Peter 5, Ephesians 6, and 2 Timothy 2.
The epistle reading from Romans, the 8th chapter, beginning at the first verse. There is therefore now no condemnation for those who are in Christ Jesus. For the law of the Spirit of life has set you free in Christ Jesus from the law of sin and death. For God has done what the law, weakened by the flesh, could not do. By sending his own Son in the likeness of sinful flesh and for sin, he condemned sin in the flesh, in order that the righteous requirement of the law might be fulfilled in us who walk not according to the flesh, but according to the Spirit. For those who live according to the flesh set their minds on the things of the flesh, but those who live according to the Spirit set their minds on the things of the Spirit. To set the mind on the flesh is death, but to set the mind on the Spirit is life and peace. For the mind that is set on the flesh is hostile to God, for it does not submit to God's law. Indeed, it cannot. Those who are in the flesh cannot please God. You, however, are not in the flesh, but in the Spirit, if in fact the Spirit of God dwells in you. Anyone who does not have the Spirit of Christ does not belong to him. But if Christ is in you, although the body is dead because of sin, the Spirit is life because of righteousness. If the Spirit of him who raised Jesus from the dead dwells in you, he who raised Christ Jesus from the dead will also give life to your mortal bodies through his Spirit who dwells in you. This is the word of the Lord.
Thanks be to God.
We rise for the reading of the Holy Gospel. The Holy Gospel is found recorded in St. John, the 11th chapter. Now, a certain man was ill, Lazarus of Bethany, the village of Mary and her sister Martha. It was Mary who anointed the Lord with ointment and wiped his feet with her hair, whose brother Lazarus was ill. So the sisters sent to him, saying, Lord, he whom you love is ill. But when Jesus heard it, he said, This illness does not lead to death. It is for the glory of God, so that the Son of Man may be glorified through it. Now Jesus loved Martha and her sister and Lazarus. So when he heard that Lazarus was ill, he stayed 2 days longer in the place where he was. Then after this, he said to the disciples, Let us go to Judea again. The disciples said to him, Rabbi, the Jews were just now seeking to stone you, and are you going to go there again? Jesus answered, Are there not 12 hours in a day? If anyone walks in the day, he does not stumble, because he sees the light of this world. But if anyone walks in the night, he stumbles, because the light is not in him. After saying these things, he said to them, Our friend Lazarus has fallen asleep, but I go to awaken him. The disciples said to him, Lord, if he has fallen asleep, he will recover. Now, Jesus had spoken of his death, but they thought that he meant taking rest and sleep. Then Jesus told them plainly, Lazarus has died, and for your sake I am glad that I was not there, so that you may believe. But let us go to him. So Thomas, called the twin, said to his fellow disciples, Let us also go, that we may die with him. Now when Jesus came, he found that Lazarus had already been in the tomb 4 days. Bethany was near Jerusalem, about 2 miles off, and many of the Jews had come to Mary and Martha to console them concerning their brother. So when Martha heard that Jesus was coming, she went and met him. But Mary remained seated in the house. Martha said to Jesus, Lord, if you had been here, my brother would not have died. But even now I know that whatever you ask from God, God will give you. Jesus said to her, Your brother will rise again. Martha said to him, I know that he will rise again in the resurrection on the last day. And Jesus said to her, I am the resurrection and the life. Whoever believes in me, though he die, yet shall he live. And everyone who lives and believes in me shall never die. Do you believe this? She said to him, Yes, Lord, I believe that you are the Christ, the Son of God, who is coming into the world. When she had said this, she went and called her sister Mary, saying in private, The teacher is here and is calling for you. When she heard it, she rose quickly and went to him. Now Jesus had not yet come into the village, but was still in the place where Martha had met him. And when the Jews who were with her in the house, consoling her, saw Mary rise quickly and go out, they followed her, supposing that she was going to the tomb to weep there. Now when Mary came to where Jesus was and saw him, she fell at his feet, saying to him, Lord, if you had been here, my brother would not have died. When Jesus saw her weeping, and the Jews who had come with her also weeping, he was deeply moved in his spirit and greatly troubled. And he said, Where have you laid him? They said to him, Lord, come and see. Jesus wept. So the Jews said, See how he loved him? But some of them said, Could not he who opened the eyes of the blind man also have kept this man from dying? Then Jesus, deeply moved again, came to the tomb. It was a cave, and a stone lay against it. Jesus said, Take away the stone. Martha, the sister of the dead man, said to him, Lord, by this time there will be an odor, for he has been dead 4 days. Jesus said to her, Did I not tell you that if you believed, you would see the glory of God? So they took away the stone, and Jesus lifted up his eyes and said, Father, I thank you that you have heard me. I knew that you always hear me, but I said this on account of the people standing around, that they may believe that you sent me. When he had said these things, he cried out with a loud voice, Lazarus, come out. The man who had died came out, his hands and his feet bound with linen strips, and his face wrapped with a cloth. Jesus said to them, Unbind him and let him go. Many of the Jews, therefore, who had come with Mary, had seen what he did, believed in him. This is the gospel of the Lord. Having heard the gospel of our Lord, we confess our common Christian faith to the words of the Apostles' Creed.
I believe in God, the Father Almighty, maker of heaven and earth, and in Jesus Christ, his only Son, our Lord, who was conceived by the Holy Spirit, born of the Virgin Mary, suffered under Pontius Pilate, was crucified, died, and was buried. He descended into hell. The third day he rose again from the dead. He ascended into heaven and sits at the right hand of God the Father Almighty. From thence he will come to judge the living and the dead. I believe in the Holy Spirit, the Holy Christian Church, the communion of saints, the forgiveness of sins, the resurrection of the body, and the life everlasting. Amen.
Please be seated. At this time, if there are any children who would like to come forward for a children's message, please do so at this time. Thank you. So, easy question for you. How did God make the world? He did make the world, but how did he do it?
With his hands.
Okay. Exactly right, Mason. He said, be there a world. And there was a world. He just spoke. And it was. And the same is true for the animals and light and the sun and the stars and the moon. He just said, let there be. He said, let there be. And what happened? What happened? Wesley, what happened? It just was, wasn't it? Yeah, absolutely. Well, that's how God made things. He said he used his word, and that's how it happened. Now we see Jesus doing something today. We heard him in our gospel reading. We heard Jesus, his friend, his very, very good friend Lazarus had died. We know he was a good friend because the Bible uses words like love. And he loved his friend. Like we all like maybe have a best friend who we care deeply for and care for very much. And you know, when they hurt, we hurt with them. You know, good friends like that. Well, Jesus' good friend Lazarus had died. And Jesus was sad and he cried about it. But Jesus could do something. Jesus is going to raise Lazarus from the dead. Now, did Jesus get a wand and hold it over in the middle like that? No.
He used words.
You're right. He used his words. He used simple words. He said, Lazarus, come out. Come forth. Now, he didn't even have to use words. He could have just thought it, and Lazarus would have come out. But because all these people were around, and all the people were watching, he wanted them to know that he had the authority to raise Lazarus from the dead. So he said, Lazarus, come out. And he came out. He absolutely came out of the grave. Yes, take the cloth off him, because he had a cloth over his head, and he had some on his hands and on his feet, and he was able to come out of the grave. You know, Jesus uses lots of words for us, and they're very important to us. When we're baptized, the water is combined with Jesus' word. Therefore, go and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit. And when we have the sacrament of the altar, Holy Communion, Jesus took bread, and when he had broke it, he gave it to them, saying, take and eat. This is my body, which is given for you. And the wine, he said, this is my blood. So when Jesus speaks, things become exactly what they are. His body, his blood. And in your baptism, you are made children of your heavenly Father. You are made Christians in the waters of holy baptism. And as Christians, we look for an even greater day to come. We look for the day when Jesus comes back. And the Bible tells us he will come back with the shout of the archangel and the trumpet blast of heaven. We do resist temptation, yes. But on that last day, there won't be any more temptation. And the Bible says, we who are dead, those who are dead, will rise from their graves.
And we resist the devil.
Yes. Yes. Oh, Mason, you said something very important. We use God's what? Word. Because that's what he gives. And where do we find God's word at?
In the Bible.
Yes, we find God's word in the Bible. That Bible is recorded for us so that we may know God's word and what he wants for us. And that's so very important. Very, very important that we have the word of God. And we trust, as Christians, we trust Jesus' word. What he says will come to pass. What he says will happen. And if he says we're all going to rise again on the last day and be caught up in the air and be glorified and have wonderfully new bodies and strong and healthy and beautiful and grand and great, then that's what's going to happen. And we trust that. Therefore, we take Jesus at His word. Even if we can't see it now, His raising of Lazarus from the grave proves that when He says things, it really happens. And we're very thankful for that, that He is the Word of creation. Let's close with a prayer. Dear Jesus, thank You so much for Your Word. Thank You for being the Word of creation. Thank You for being the Word of life and salvation. And we pray for these young people here that they would continually be hearers of Your Word and that all of us would always be believers in Your Word. In Jesus' name we ask these things. Amen. Thank you for coming down. If you would, please head back to your parents and families. And we will continue with the singing of our next hymn.
The hymn of the day is the hymn 752, Be Still My Soul, hymn 752 in the Lutheran Service Book.
sermon text today from today's gospel reading. Yes, Lord, I believe that you are Christ, the Son of God, who is coming into the world. The words of our text. Grace, mercy, and peace be unto you from God our Father and our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Amen. Last week we heard Jesus say of himself, I am the light of the world. The blind man was called out of darkness, and not just the darkness of his blindness, but also the darkness of unbelief into the light of faith. This morning we find that in Bethany there is still darkness. The shadow of death in the grave lies heavily upon Mary and Martha, along with their friends and their acquaintances. Doubts, questions, disappointments wrestle with faith in that gloom. Faith battles and struggles to cling to the words of Jesus. We know what that's like because we're not all that different from Mary and Martha and their friends. We're not that different from any of Jesus' disciples. We know the darkness of Bethany. In our own congregation, this darkness has touched the family and friends of Carol. On Friday, the shadow of death settled over the Hellman family as Darren was called to his eternal home. And the Stoltenberg family wrestles with the darkness at the death of Brian's grandfather, Bill. All of us walk in the valley of the shadow of death. We mourn the loss of those we love. Our faith wrestles with our grief. Martha believes Jesus. She believes in what Jesus says about himself. She believes in Jesus just as we believe in Jesus. And it's one thing, though, to hear and to reason and to argue. It is another thing to believe and trust and embrace. When each of us face death, we do believe in the resurrection of the dead. I am confident of that. And yet, this future resurrection seems so very far off. And even as we trust it, there is an unreal quality to it. So what does Jesus ask of Martha? He asks Martha to focus on him. Martha did believe in the resurrection, and this must have been the content of some of Jesus' preaching. Resurrection as a foundational aspect of biblical faith. And Jesus rings forth with another one of his great I am statements. I am the resurrection and the life. Martha, says Jesus. Christian, says Jesus. Focus on me. No resurrection and no life exist apart from Jesus. Where Jesus is absent, resurrection and life are absent. Where Jesus is present, resurrection and life are present. It is here that Jesus speaks those great words that we use in all of our funerals. He that believes in me, even if he dies, shall live. And everyone who lives and believes in me in no way shall die forever. How wonderful are the words of Jesus. He in himself is the victory and the triumph over death. Shall we sleep? Yes. We shall all sleep, but temporal death does not harm us at all. We do not lose our parents and our siblings and our brothers or sisters, loved ones, cousins, when they go to sleep at night in their bedrooms. Therefore, we do not lose our loved ones when they fall into the sleep of death. From the very moment of death, those who are in Christ shall live. Everyone who places their faith and their confidence and their trust in the Lord Jesus as true life in themselves, they also have the resurrection. In this faith, no death shall touch them. And in no way shall they die forever. What joy we find in Jesus' words, we shall in no way die. Possession of eternal life is obtained by a connection with Jesus, by clinging to all that Jesus says He is. Now, of course, we're not freed from earthly death, yet to live is to believe, and to believe is to live. It's good to hear this, because we so easily get overtaken by living out of the law, living out our good works, and doing all sorts of needful activities that are right in front of our faces, that we often forget about the resurrection of the dead, the goal of our faith. The very goal of our faith is resurrection on the last day and eternal life. Our good works are not the price of our resurrection. Good works are signs, then, of our faith in Christ, pointing us to our own resurrection. How deeply Jesus wants us to have this life is borne out when Mary comes to Him. She says the same thing as Martha says. Did you catch that? Lord, if you had been here, my brother would not have died. That's one of those parts of the scripture you've got to read 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, and put different voices to it and different emotions to it. How would these women have said these words, and what kind of confidence? Is it a castigation of Jesus? Is it just a straight comment? Mary is not quite as stoic as Martha. Mary falls at Jesus' feet. Had you been here, my brother would not have died. It's not a word of reproach to Jesus, but it is a word that is completely filled with grief. A grief we too might feel at an unexpected death. And this text tells us that Jesus was deeply moved in His spirit. His body shook a bit, says the words that the Holy Writer uses. Shuddered at the situation. Jesus' emotions are real. His emotions are raw. And our text says that Jesus was greatly troubled in His spirit. That word is a word that means agitated, or like your emotions are like a boiling cup of water. It's kind of the visual. This is what, you know, Jesus was agitated in His spirit. And now here we see Jesus as true God and true man who loves, who cares for, who has these deep, abiding friendships which are so important to Him. And now we will see Jesus as true God, who is able to overcome death and the grave. One of Jesus' best friends died, and He's not agitated with Mary, and He's not agitated with Martha. He is at one and the same time grieving, just as we do. He is the Word of creation who is agitated over the wreckage that sin has made of humanity. Jesus is indignant with death, which plunges His beloved friends into such a state of sorrow. And this indignation will turn on death itself and with a word force it to release its prey. Just like in John chapter 5, where Jesus says, an hour is coming when all who are in their tombs will hear His voice and come out. The voice of Jesus with its almighty power raises the dead. Indeed, without any struggle, the bonds of death and the ravages of death are cut and separated, and they are completely undone. Here is the glory of the Father and the glorification of the Son whom the Father has sent. Jesus will now show who He really is, not just the preacher of the resurrection, but resurrection in the flesh, resurrection in His person. The one who brings resurrection to us. And just as Martha confessed, Jesus will show Himself to be the one who is promised. Yes, Lord, I believe You are the Christ, the one who has promised to come into the world. Jesus will now show this very thing. You are the Christ, she said. The Messiah who is promised to Adam and Eve. She confesses to Jesus, "You are the forgiver and the repairer of the world's sin. You are the Christ, the Son of God." And she is confident of this right now as if she herself could have written the hymn, "I am trusting Thee, Lord Jesus. I am trusting Thee, Lord Jesus, trusting only Thee. Trusting Thee for full salvation, great and free." And Jesus meets this trust with action. "Move the stone away." "But Lord, the smell, he has been dead 4 days. Do you not believe what you have just said?" Jesus speaks with a loud voice not because he needed volume to call Lazarus from the grave, but a loud voice so that those standing around him could identify and hear that he is the one who said it. He could have simply willed Lazarus from the grave, but a loud voice for the sake of the crowd, "Lazarus, come forth." And Lazarus, restored, comes forth from the grave. The crowd then and there put their belief in Jesus. We too are facers of death. And we too are confident of our own resurrection. We trust Jesus' words. "Go in peace. Your sins are forgiven. Where there is no sin, there is no death. There is only life and salvation." We trust Jesus' words. "I am," he says, "I am the resurrection and the life." And while this does not lessen our grief at the death of our loved ones, for even Jesus wept, it gives us confidence of the great life to come. So let us take the confidence of the resurrection and move that confidence closer to our everyday reality. Let us believe in Jesus all the more, trusting in Him all the more, that upon His second coming, we and all in their graves will hear Jesus' voice. We shall be called forth, and the effects of sin and death shall be undone in us, and we shall be glorious. And we now say with Job and all the faithful, "Oh, that my words were written. Oh, that they were inscribed in a book. Oh, that they were written with an iron pen and engraved in rock forever. For I know that my Redeemer lives, and in the last He will stand upon the earth. And after my skin has thus been destroyed, yet in my flesh I shall see God. I shall see Him and not another. With these eyes I shall see my God. How my heart faints within me." In our grieving, in our facing of death, let us cling to the Word that is Jesus. And let us believe Him when He says, "I am the resurrection and the life. He who believes in me will live even though he dies, and whoever lives and believes in me will never die." In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. And now may that peace which passes all understanding be in your hearts and your minds through the one true faith in Christ Jesus our Lord. Amen. Amen. Let us now rise for the singing of the offertory. be seated for our special music. We now receive our gifts and offerings.
You have been sharing in the morning worship at Zion Lutheran Church, 205 Pulaski Street in Lincoln, Illinois, where you have just heard Reverend Mark Thompson deliver the message for this morning. If you cannot be physically present, join us every Sunday morning on the radio at 8 o'clock over WLLM 1370 AM or WLLM 105.3 FM or at www.zlclinc.org, where you will find links to Facebook Live and to the Internet. Zion is a member congregation of the Worldwide Fellowship of the Lutheran Church Missouri Synod. If you are without a church home, we invite you to become a part of the Zion family. If we may assist you in any way, please call us at 732-3946 or write to us at Zion Lutheran Church, 205 Pulaski Street, Lincoln, Illinois, 62656. Zion also offers a premier education with a Christian worldview for children from age 3 through the 8th grade at Zion Lutheran School. For more information concerning our school, please contact the school office at 732-3977. May the grace of the Lord Jesus Christ, the love of God, and the fellowship of the Holy Spirit be and abide with you all. Amen.
We rise for our prayers. Dear Lord, you raised your Son and sent your Spirit. Sustain us while we await Christ's attention to our present needs. Give strength to our prayers, heal our weaknesses, and restore our losses. For all our days, give us faith in Jesus, who is the resurrection and the life. Lord, in your mercy,
hear our prayers.
O Christ, even as we faithfully await the resurrection, we pray for those among us who mourn the death of their loved one. Please, dear Jesus, comfort Katrina and her family as they mourn Darren's death. May they meet the days ahead in holy and certain confidence. We pray you to comfort also Brian Stolzenberg and his family as they grieve the death of Bill, Brian's grandfather. Grant Brian's family your peace. We pray you also to soothe Norm Mueller as his brother Don was called from this life yesterday morning. As Norm remembers brotherly love, grant unto him and his family your grace. Upon each of these families, bestow the faith that has confidence in the resurrection of the dead and the life everlasting in the paradise of the recreated earth. Lord, in your mercy,
hear our prayers.
Dear Father, we pray also for the sick and the recovering. Grant physical strength to Darius Knauer and success to his rehabilitation so that he may soon return to Emma. We thank you also for Carson Sharon's surgery, and ask that his hand would heal well and be returned to full strength. And also do we ask you that you would give further health and strength to Marty Van Slett as he recovers from his recent surgery. Lord, in your mercy,
hear our prayers.
Dear Father and God of the Church, breathe life into your Church that she may stand by your strength and live according to your word. Raise up faithful Christians and shepherds to oversee your flocks, that each may be nurtured by your grace to everlasting life. Lord, in your mercy,
hear our prayers.
Into your hands, O Lord, we commend all for whom we pray, trusting in your mercy through Jesus Christ our Lord, who taught us all to pray.
Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come. Thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory, forever and ever. Amen.
Blessed Lord, you have caused all holy scriptures to be written for our learning. Grant that we may so hear them, read, mark, learn, and take them to heart, that by the patience and comfort of your holy word, we may embrace and ever hold fast the blessed hope of everlasting life, Through Jesus Christ, your Son, our Lord, who lives and reigns with you in the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever.
Amen. Amen.
The Lord bless thee and keep thee. The Lord make his face shine upon thee and be gracious unto thee. The Lord lift up his countenance upon thee and grant thee his peace. Standing for the singing of our closing hymn.
The closing hymn is number 915, Today Your Mercy Calls Us, hymn number 915 in the Lutheran Service Book. Please be seated. Some brief announcements for us this morning. Let's see. We'll start off with Megan, if you would like to come down. Doug, just follow her right down the side aisle. Come on down. Just like the Price is Right.
Good morning. Zion School PTO would like to invite the congregation out to our Easter egg hunt out of the school today. It's open to all ages, so all kids, and you know what, adults, bring your Easter baskets and come do some Easter egg hunting with us. The hunt starts at 5 p.m. at the school. The sun is shining, so it should be held outdoors. After the Easter egg hunt, we're going to have activities, treats, and fellowship. So please come out and join us this evening out at the school for an Easter egg hunt and bring those Easter egg baskets.
Thank you, Megan.
Thank you.
Doug.
Stewardship got together yesterday, and we're doing, we did a mailing, so keep your eyes peeled through your mail. You're going to be getting a card, and inside the card, we've got an Easter announcement for Holy Week services in here and everything. And on the back, it lists the services, so once you get the card, if you put it on your kitchen table, you can use it as a reminder of the services that are coming up for Holy Week. And also I'd like to remind everybody inside there's a bulletin announcement about the Easter breakfast that's coming up. We still need egg casseroles and sweet sweet treat donations. So anybody that would like to do that, my information's in here. There's sign-up sheets out here on the bulletin board, so any donations would be greatly appreciated.
Thank you.
And speaking of sign-ups, there's also a sign-up there for the all-church cleanup day coming up this spring. So that's out there also. Please remember there is no youth group this evening. Darren's visitation is here in the church tomorrow morning from 9 to 11, and his funeral is at 11 o'clock tomorrow morning. And also, may I speak to one parent from the McConnell family and one parent from the Farnham family also today. All right. Everybody, you're supposed to go, what those kids do. May the Lord bless all of you. May He bless your comings in and your goings out from this time forth and forevermore. Amen.